Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and we will begin today with Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein. She is pushing for recounts in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan, three states where Donald Trump narrowly defeated Hillary Clinton. Stein filed a recount petition last week in Wisconsin. That state is moving forward with her request. She has until tomorrow to file a petition in Michigan, which her lawyer says she'll do. And in Pennsylvania just yesterday, Stein filed a recount lawsuit alleging that the election there was, quote, illegal. Stein has raised $6.3 million for the effort so far, vastly more than the $3.5 million she raised for her entire presidential campaign. And she joins us now in the studio. Dr. Stein, welcome to Radio Boston.
Great to be with you.
It's great to have you. First of all, let me ask you, in the petition that you filed in Pennsylvania for a recount, your lawyer wrote in that petition that, quote, the petitioners have grave concerns about the integrity of electronic voting machines used in their districts. Do you have specific evidence for those concerns?
So, you know, the thing about voting machines is that you cannot find or see this evidence unless you actually look for it. And the only way you can look for it is by actually counting the votes. So if you look at the track record of these machines, for example, in 2004, that 90,000 votes were found, paper ballots that did not get counted because the optical scanner that counts them wasn't quite programmed correctly. Things were just a little bit askew. 90,000 votes were found only because a lawsuit was filed and they actually went back and counted them. Some of the machines that are used, for example, in Wisconsin have been outlawed in California because they have been shown to be readily tampered with. They've been prone to human error and so on. So this has been a longstanding movement, which really grew out of the recount in Ohio back in 2004. There's been a growing awareness that the equipment that we use, the technology we rely on, is extremely untrustworthy. And in this election, where there was lots of rampant mistrust and distrust all around, databases that were being tampered with and hacked into, we think it's very important that we be able to have confidence in our votes.
But mistrust is different than actual misdeed, though. I mean, I think we're living in a world where people have a grave amount of mistrust for many things related to our political system.
Exactly.
But there's an evidence gap, though.
Well, you know, the evidence.
But let me just jump in here, because I do want to. You mentioned Wisconsin specifically, and we actually spoke with the Wisconsin Election Commission today, Reed Magny. He's the public information officer there, and he said that this is a quote from him, the fact is that none of the equipment used in Wisconsin has been shown to have any problems. Every piece of equipment is subjected to a public test at least 10 days before the election to verify its accuracy, and that all of the equipment used in Wisconsin has been certified by the U.S. Elections Commission.
Yes, but as they've been deeply looked at by the state of California, now by Maryland and Virginia, which are also in the process of disqualifying these machines, you know, you need to have evidence in order to pursue wrongdoing on the part of people. We protect people, and we protect our civil rights and our civil liberties. So you need evidence. Excuse me. Sorry. You need evidence in order to pursue a question of wrongdoing. But in the case of our votes, it really should be the opposite. We should have automatic safeguards and reassurances built into our voting system. And that's really the larger point here, is that we should not be operating with machines that have been proven to be extremely fallible and subject to tampering and human error, that we deserve safeguards that are built in. We should have automatic audits that take place as a rule, and that we should have recounts when races are very close.
Well, I mean, a lot of states do have automatic recounts when races are very close. But about, you mentioned...
So you and mentioned, not in these three.
Not in these three,
yes.
But you mentioned voting machines. In Michigan, they vote all on paper ballots. So what's your...
Paper ballots, which are counted by optical scanners, and the scanners have problems as well. That case I mentioned in Ohio of 90,000 1,000 votes that were discovered that did not get counted. That's by optical scanners. So what you want is to actually count the votes. You know, when you talk to everyday people about this, in my experience, what everyday people are very quick to say is, yeah, I don't trust this system. I would like to verify it. I would like to feel like I can be confident in the outcome. You know, I think that it's a system which is not only shielded from the light of day, so we don't actually see our votes. It's very hard to double check on these votes. And we have to raise millions of dollars in order to just get the reassurance that ought to be built into the system. It's not only raising millions of dollars, we also have to jump through incredible administrative hoops in order to make this happen. But this is a reassurance, especially in today's climate, that should just be automatic.
How does the mistrust that you're reflecting here differ from the mistrust that Donald Trump has reflected about the election?
You know, that's
for
a really good point, because I think we see mistrust across the political spectrum. We saw Donald Trump talk about a rigged election. We saw, and he had great resonance with that. We saw Bernie Sanders talk about a rigged economy, and there was enormous resonance with that. You know, it's no secret that there's really an all-time low level of confidence and trust in our basic social institutions. According to a New York Times poll, towards the end of the election, something like 82% of voters were disgusted with the conduct of the election. You know, we know that most voters...
of the election by the politicians running in the election, though, not necessarily by...
Well, I think it's a diffuse
form.
You can look at other polls. Oh no, it's not the poll takers, of course.
But see, I don't want to. I'm trying to be sure that we're specific about what we're talking about here, because it's one thing. And yes, absolutely. People very much share your concern about how this election
was
run
by the
candidates.
You know, it's really well. It's
but we're talking about actual votes cast.
Yes,
and you're asking for a recount of those votes.
But let's be clear that the sense of cynicism out there is not just limited to politicians. It also applies to our basic institutions, to the media, to the executive branch, to the judicial branch. Polls are, you know, there's a mountain of polls showing that people do not have confidence in our system across the board. And what we're saying now is that we have machines that have been proven to be wide open to tampering and human error, that we need to have safeguards built in. One of those safeguards is recounting the vote, and that going forward in the future, we should have automatic audits that are built in and recounts that are guaranteed. Taxpayers should not have to raise, we the voters should not have to raise millions of dollars in order to verify the vote. And what's common about all these three states is that they all use highly questionable equipment, or they all had very questionable sort of red flag results. They all had razor-thin margins. They all went the opposite way of what was expected. So they all meet these criteria. In Wisconsin, these outlawed voting machines. In Pennsylvania,
well, let me just be clear.
When you
say outlawed, they weren't outlawed in Wisconsin, but similar machines the state of California opted not to use.
Well, they had been using them, and they decided not to use them because the evidence that these were tamper-prone, error-prone machines was so overwhelming. And it's not
in
just
California.
No. This was evidence done in academic centers. I believe it was the University of Michigan, actually, where this research was being done.
Indeed, so, but you used the word outlawed. So they're what
they
you're citing
they,
research
they
that does
de-certified
exist.
Certified them. Yes, exactly.
In California.
And they are in the process of doing that also in Maryland and in Virginia. So many authorities are looking at this, and the academics are looking at this and saying, we deserve better. Why should we be working with tamper-prone machines? We deserve a vote count that we can have confidence in, especially in this current climate where cynicism is running high.
Would you have been requesting or petitioning for recounts in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania if the margin had been identical but the winner had been Hillary Clinton?
It's no secret that I am not a friend of one of these campaigns over the other. And I took incredible heat throughout the course of the election because I refused to subscribe to that theory. So I have no special friendly feelings towards one candidate here or the other. In fact, when we declared that we were going into Michigan, the result was not established at that point. So we had one uncertain state, whereas there were two that were Republican. And it happens that these three states meet the criteria of having a high probability of showing a problem. If we show no problem, that is great. But in my mind, that doesn't change the necessity for a voting system that we can have confidence in. And again, what the academics and those who watchdog this issue of voting integrity will tell you is that over and over, we see cases of massive errors, tens of thousands of votes that didn't get counted or they mistakenly got switched and attributed to one candidate rather than the other. But where have we discovered these problems? Only when there has been a recount with the paper ballots or where there have been court cases that have looked at, for example, the disenfranchisement of the communities of color in Toledo in 2004. They took the results to court, and that's where they uncovered these 90,000 votes that had basically been neglected. They didn't get counted because they didn't quite fit properly into the way that the counting machines had been programmed.
So specifically, just to walk through some of the numbers in terms of the margins in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. So in Michigan, Donald Trump's margin of victory over Hillary Clinton was approximately 11,000 votes. You actually won some 50,000 votes there. Gary Johnson got 170,000. In Wisconsin, Trump's win over Clinton was almost 23,000. You got 30,000 votes there. And in Pennsylvania, Trump's margin over Clinton was some 68,000 votes. You got 48,000. Gary Johnson got 142,000 votes there. Again, mentioning Gary Johnson because he's the other Democrat or Republican candidate. And I ask you that because over Twitter earlier today, I got a question from a listener from Ohio, actually, who calls himself Pabst Benatar, who said, knowing how the election turned out, with these thin margins, would you still have run?
So let me say very specifically, if you run the numbers on the vote counts that came in on which the election was declared, and you ask, if we took out Green Party voters, would it have made a difference? Well, the reality is, exit polls show 61% of Greens would not have come out to cast a vote for either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. And of those who would have come out, over a third would have actually voted for Donald Trump. So it's not like you can just say Green voters, oh, that means Democratic Party. It does not. So, in fact, the votes that would have actually translated to Hillary Clinton's advantage would not have made the difference in any state based on the vote counts that were available on Election Day. So, in fact, it's just not true that we held the margin of difference. But let me say further, there's a more important general point here. Is the solution to a compromised democracy, some would say on life support, is the solution to silence opposition voices? I don't think so, you know, because democracy depends on voices and choices and opposition. So why don't we just fix the system so that it prevents this splitting of the vote? The state of Maine decided to do that this year. They passed ranked choice voting as a voter referendum. That means when you go into the polls, you rank your choices. So if your first choice loses, your vote is automatically reassigned to your second choice so that there's no issue about a divided vote or having an unintended consequence with your vote. This is how we solve that issue of, you know, the threat of third parties. Do they inadvertently help the greater evil, whereas otherwise we're voting for the lesser evil? You know, the whole idea that you vote against the candidate you're most afraid of rather than voting for what your values are, is that what democracy is? Is it simply who do we hate the most? You know, we need an affirmative agenda, and we need a voting system that actually allows us to come into the voting booth, and cast a vote for what we believe in. Democracy needs a moral compass. Ranked choice voting would get that moral compass back into the election process.
Well, what would you say? What would you say to the people who would like to tell you that what they believe in is not having someone like Steve Bannon, who has embraced white nationalism and has, you know, offered his media empire as a megaphone for it,
yes,
as the chief strategist for the next administration? And that's what we have now,
and
that
really,
they believe in, that their belief was to not have that.
Of course.
And
this is a case in point. Because most of Donald Trump's voters, and this was established by several polls throughout the campaign, most voters were not voting for Donald Trump. They were voting against Hillary Clinton and the political establishment. This was consistent throughout the campaign. So if they had had other choices, like Bernie Sanders, for example, would have won hands down against Donald Trump. And there were manipulations going on in that election as well. Had I been a party to that election, I would have called for a recount and for counting all of the votes, including the voters who were stripped from the voting lists in Brooklyn, as well as the hundreds of thousands of votes that did not get counted in California. So there were real irregularities there in that vote that should have been recounted and subject to scrutiny, in my opinion. But you need standing in that election. You had to have been a candidate. So I couldn't recount that one. But this is one in which I can. And let me just say, this issue of having Donald Trump in office wouldn't be the case if Bernie Sanders had been a candidate, or had there been open debates and people have seen at that point, when there were just four candidates and Bernie wasn't an option, many people who voted for Donald Trump would not have voted for Donald Trump had they had another option with integrity. But they did not want to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Well, I mean, when you say that this issue of Donald Trump being in office would not have happened if Bernie Sanders had been the Democratic nominee, I'm not sure we can say that, because that's not what happened. But in other words,
you can't second guess reality.
Well,
that's
exactly.
True, but that's what the polls would have suggested.
Well, I mean,
he was winning hands down.
But we also know that there were problems with polling throughout this entire election.
As to the degree that we have evidence, that was certainly the suggestion. So I'm just making the larger point here that by silencing candidates, especially those who represent a point of view that's outside of the political establishment, as Bernie Sanders did, as my campaign did, when you silence outsiders, then you really run a risk of, it doesn't help democracy to silence outsiders, put it that way.
For the record, you're speaking to someone who very much believes that that the American body politic would benefit from robust third-party participation, third, fourth, fifth parties, whatever. I do think in the long run, having two long-standing, very well-established, only two parties is not good in terms of reflecting the diversity of opinion in this country. But what I want to get back to here is not so much the what ifs of if we were mm-hmm. if other parties had a larger voice, but back to what you were saying when you were talking about a compromised democracy that could be reflected, which is one of the reasons why you're asking for these recounts. And we're just running out of time here, so I just want to get back to this for one moment. I mean, do you really believe that people should not have faith in the counts that went on in their individual states, that we should genuinely be concerned about what happens when we're in the voting booth and we put those ballots into the box?
I think there's no doubt we already are concerned. This isn't a matter of me, ginning up some PR campaign out there. We basically put out a single press release and established a website where people, a web page where people could make contributions to create a recount. And overnight, we had millions of dollars that came in the form of small contributions from over 140,000 small donors at this point. It's not like people need to be convinced or that their fears should be whipped up. Unfortunately, this is the reality that we're in today. There's widespread cynicism. A lot of people did not vote and will not vote because they have real concerns about the system, which is exactly why we should have built-in safeguards so that we can restore confidence and maintain confidence that when we go to vote, those votes will be counted and they'll be counted accurately.
So following these three recounts, if all of them actually happen, which we're not certain yet that they all will go through, will you continue to advocate for this? Because, I mean, what you're asking for in the long run would require, like, changes at the state level in terms of election law in all 50 states.
Yes, and you may not have been around at the time, but I ran for Secretary of State here in Massachusetts in 2006. So this is not a new issue. The Green Party led the fight for a recount in 2004. So, these are longstanding issues. I think these are deep concerns. They first came to public attention with the recounts.
Yeah, but what I'm asking is, will you lead the effort to change state law law to make, you know, automatic recounts for narrower.
Of course, as we've been
victory.
Fighting for ranked choice voting and to get money out of politics, we actually passed that. Remember, in Massachusetts, before the year 2000, we passed it, and the Democratic legislature, in all of their wisdom, repealed it on a voice vote after we, the people, had passed clean money politics and financing on in a referendum with a 2-to-1 margin. So this is a long overdue series of reforms, and I think counting the votes is just a first step towards many changes, a whole agenda of what needs to be fixed in our very hijacked democracy. And if people are interested, it's jill2016.com/recount. The money that we're raising can only go to the recount. This is dedicated set of funds in order to take advantage of this very timely opportunity to start fixing some of what is broken with our democracy.
Well, Dr. Jill Stein, she was the 2016 Green Party nominee for president. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Great talking with you, Meghna.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.